Bibles, if you will. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And will you stand with me in respect to the Word of God? Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Listen to what it says, if you will. Follow along in your Bible instead, if you can. I notice if you had a lot of you, a lot of you are having your Bibles, and I just praise the Lord that you're following along in them. So remember, always remember, what old Brother Pete said doesn't mean anything unless it's backed up by the Word of God. And then it means everything. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now especially our text. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Shall we pray? Our Lord, tonight, we thank you again for the manifestation of thyself already in this service, and we ask thee, our God, that thou wilt sanctify this endeavor and make it acceptable in thy sight, and then use it as a communication of thine to impart thy truth unto the hearts and lives of all those that are here. O Lord, we just praise you for each one that you've brought this way. And now we ask you again, give listening ears, attentive minds, an open heart, and then do whatever work has to be done. Glorify thyself in all that's said and done. And Lord, there may be some here tonight, as far as we know there are, who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Redeemer. O our God, finger around their heart, open their understanding, and then grant them the faith to believe thee, so that they can walk out of here rejoicing that they have met the Lord Jesus Christ and he has redeemed them by his precious blood. But whatever it is, Lord, glorify thyself in this endeavor. We ask it now in thy precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our subject tonight, the faith of Noah. Now, I'm going to bring out three things tonight rather rapidly because I know we have a lot of things in schedule for us, and I'm not going to cut down on our ministry, but I'm just going to bring it out so that we can understand it a lot better than ever before. Our subject tonight, the faith of Noah. Three things we're going to look up. First of all, the definition of faith. Secondly, we're going to look at the various kinds of faith. And then thirdly, we're going to look at the faith of Noah. People today, or lots of them, have faith. Everybody here has some kind of a faith. I could prove it to you, and some of you are doing it already. We got some boys right here, their feet can't touch the ground. Now they're exercising faith in that bench. You'd do the same thing, wouldn't you? How many of you have looked around and questioned that bench before you sat down on it? You didn't do it, did you? Know why? Because you believed it would have be. And then we find very clearly, I dare say all of you came here on the reality of faith. You probably were told these words, come and we'll have a good time. Have you had a good time? I know you have, and I know you're still having a good time, you see? Because, what are you talking about? First of all, let's look at the definition of faith. What in the world is faith? Faith is believing someone or something because of the character of that individual and the ability to do what is promised. And we find in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now faith, Paul tells us in Acts chapter 27 and verses 26, 20 to 26, Paul tells us that faith is believing God. I dare say if I were to come to every one of you tonight and ask you personally, do you believe in God? Yes, I do. But I wonder if you have the right kind of faith. You say, preacher, what were you talking about? There's various kinds of faith in the Bible, and I'm going to point out some for you tonight, so you can learn very clearly what they are. And then we find very clearly Charles Spurgeon, that old four-fashioned Baptist preacher. This is what he says, and I like it very much. He said, faith is believing that Christ is all that he says he is, that he will do all that he says he will do, and then expect it of him. I like that, don't you? The Lord Jesus Christ is all that he says he is. He's the Son of God. He's a sovereign God. In other words, he's in charge of everything. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. He's a merciful God. And yet at the same time, he is a just God. And if necessary, he will spank an individual. And I'll tell you right now, he's appointed a day in which he's going to judge this world in righteousness. And he's going to send all those that don't know him, he's going to send them to hell. Now people say, well, what kind of a God is that? That's the best kind of God there is. And I hope every one of you here know him. If you're not sure, I hope before this week is over with, you'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If you've ever flown an airplane, there are instruments in that airplane that you've got to trust. And I'm going to ask the youth director afterwards, if he doesn't have this particular DVD, I'm going to give it to you, and he can show it to you later on about how important it is to trust the instruments in an airplane. Now, why do I tell you this? Because we find, beloved, listen now. Faith, what does it mean? Faith means believing God absolutely. Absolutely. In other words, if you're believing God tonight, you're going to expect him, and you're trusting him, and you're waiting on him to take you to glory. Also, I'll tell you right now, you expect God to assist you, and he does. And when you bring your request unto the Lord God of heaven, you don't demand of God like some of these preachers are doing, but you humbly ask the Lord God of heaven, and you wait on him to bring the answer to you, and how wonderful it is. And then we find also, let me tell you something. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have the faith of God's elect, and I call it that because that's what it is, I'll tell you right now, you can't go to hell. People have told me over and over again, you're religious, old fool, go to hell. You know what I tell them? I can't. Amen. And they looked at me so funny and said, what do you mean you can't? I says, I can't. And they said, how come? I said, Jesus Christ is my Redeemer. And I said, he's guaranteed that I'm not going to go to hell. Because he that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you believe Christ tonight? I hope and pray that you do. Now faith, we find very clearly, is saving faith means believing God absolutely. Now hold your seat. Faith is given by God to the individual. You and I have to have the faith that God grants us. Now let me prove it to you. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and look with me. A favorite verse of Scripture, but so many people leave half of it off. In Ephesians chapter 2, we find verses 8 through 10, these words. Follow along in your Bible if you will. Look at what it says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you have the saving faith tonight, God implanted that in your heart. Now go back to Galatians chapter 3, and I'll show you again that faith has to be revealed to the individual. In Galatians chapter 3, we find very clearly, beginning at verse 22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You see? Faith is revealed. And we find a saving faith means believing God absolutely. We find it's been given by God. And I'll tell you right now, it's ordained of God and the only way to be saved. Now hold your seat. I'm going to give you truth that a lot of people don't understand. The reason you got saved is because God ordained for you to be saved. Now wait a minute, preacher. Turn to the book of Acts, if you will, chapter 13. And look at me and see it for yourself. The book of Acts in chapter 13, the Word of God brings this out for our learning. And a lot of people don't seem to understand that. And we find in Acts chapter 13, The Word of God tells us very clearly these words in verse 47 and 48. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now look at these words. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now hold your seat. When were you ordained to eternal life? Back yonder in eternity when God chose you. Now you say, preacher, how come? I don't can't understand it no more than you can. But back in eternity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit made a covenant or an agreement. God the Father chose a number to be saved. He gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will die for them and rise again from the dead and guarantee their salvation. And then the Holy Spirit was involved in this, and the Holy Spirit said, I will seek them out, bring them under conviction, grant them both repentance and faith, and reveal Christ to their hearts, and they'll live with us for all eternity. Are you saved here tonight? All right, you were saved. We find God ordained that you were to be saved. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now they pushed it around. And they said, as many as believe were ordained to eternal life. But it's just the opposite. As many as were ordained to eternal life believe. Now why do I tell you this? Because I want to tell you. We preach, we pray, we persist, we point. And I'll tell you right now. Lots of times we don't see any kind of results, whatever. But we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God will bring the results. And we leave them in His hands. So many of these people today, you know, they get upset and say, I can't do this, I'm not getting any salvation. You don't know that you're not. Adoniram Judson, that great Baptist missionary to Burma, he preached and prayed and everything like that. He preached and prayed for a number of years, and he died, and the only converts he ever saw was three. But after he died, God brought an awakening in that area, and hundreds of them got converted. God's word will never return unto him void. And how wonderful it is. And faith is what? Faith means believing God absolutely. And we find not only is it given to us by grace, and we see very clearly it was ordained of God and it's the only way to be saved. All right, now hold your seat and follow along closely. In the scripture there are more than one kind of faith. But there's only one kind of faith that will save. And that's the faith that's given by God Himself. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, quickly, let me give you, if I may, three of them. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 2. In the book of John chapter 2. And I want you to see that for yourself. In John chapter 2, beginning at verse 23, we find these words. Notice. Now when He was in Jerusalem, that's referring to Christ. Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. In other words, here were the folks that supposedly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the miracles that they saw. I'll tell you right now, you know what it was? It was nothing but an external faith, because those same people were the ones that put Christ on the cross later on. You see, that's one kind of faith. Then we find also, it's an external faith. There's no revelation of Christ to them personally. I want to ask you a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Does He know you? Do you walk with Him? Do you talk with Him? Brother Neil and his wife, we've been together almost 30 years. Maybe 30 years. With Edith, it's probably even been longer. But I'll tell you right now, I know them. They know me. And when you talk about Pastor Peter Nortier to the Taylors, they'll say, yeah, we know him. We've heard him preach, and we fellowship with him, and we've been on revival meetings with him. All right? Are you listening? The same thing results with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no hope so, think so, must guess so, wonder so, or surmise so. The individual knows Christ, and Christ knows them. And I want to say to you very kindly, if you're not sure of that, you better go back and find out if something happened to you. What a tragedy it would be for you just to have external faith. Remember now, these people believed Christ because of the miracles that he was doing. All right, now listen carefully. There are a lot of people today that are so-called believing, but they don't have the revelation of Christ to their heart. They believe because of a sign, they believe because of an ecstatic feeling, or they believe of something else, and all it is external faith. Now that's one kind of faith. There's a second kind. You say, what is that? We find the second kind is this, a historical faith. All right, let me ask you a question. How many of you here tonight believe that George Washington was the first president of the United States? Raise your hand. Sure. How come? How'd you learn that? History. See? That's historical faith. Now, what are you talking about? Well, there are people today that have a historical faith, and this is what they say. Yes? We believe the Bible is a fact. So, we believe the Bible is a fact. And then the second thing of this is, they also persuaded, yes, there is a God. Yes, we know there's a God. I'll tell you right now, even the atheists know that there's a God. Even the heathen out in the land that have never heard of the gospel, they know there's a God. They know there's two kinds of gods. They know that there's a good one and there's a bad one. And they can't find the good one, but they are being plagued by the bad one. Now this is going on even at this present hour in this world. And we find historical faith believes that the Bible is a fact. They also are persuaded that there's a God, and that's as far as it goes. Now you say, preacher, give me an example. All right, take your Bibles. Turn to Acts chapter 26, if you will, and see it for yourself. In the book of Acts chapter 26, and we see it set forth for our learning. In Acts chapter 26, beginning at verse 27, we find these words. Listen to it. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only almost, but also all that hear me today were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And right here is where the man got the song, almost persuaded, now to believe. And we find almost persuaded, but lost. And people today are being almost persuaded, but I'll tell you right now, that's not good enough. Each individual has to have the faith of Christ. And has to have the faith given to them by Christ, and it's also the faith of Christ. Now that's the second kind of faith. External, historical. Now follow me again. Hold your seat and listen. There's also a third kind. And what is that? It's a satanic faith. You mean to tell me, preacher, the devils believe? They sure do. James 2:19 says, the devils believe and tremble. They're more fundamental in some things than a lot of so-called Baptists in this country. And we find, what are you talking about? Here's satanic faith. And you say, what do you know? What do you mean? All right. Take your Bibles now. Turn back to Luke chapter 8. And I'll show you quickly the satanic faith of this individual. Luke chapter 8. And we find, here was a demon-possessed man. And I mentioned before, the other night, I said, there is such thing as demon possession. And are you listening? Anybody and everybody that starts fooling around with a Ouija board is going to call up demons. Now, if you know of anybody that's monkeying around with a Ouija board, you stay away from them. You tell them point blank, you're fooling with something you can't control, and you're fooling with demons, and I'll tell you right now, you're going to get in a passable trouble. And that happens because demon possession is absolutely a reality in this day. I know what I'm talking about. I've dealt with people that are demon-possessed. I had a man who was a preacher's son, and you know, he was ready to attack me. I had to back up and put my hands up and get ready to knock him in the head because he was coming after me. He was so demon-possessed. And I'll tell you right now, there's demon possession today. And listen carefully. Don't you mess around with dope or alcohol or anything like that. Or marijuana, they'll come to you and they'll say, oh, you never had a high. Yes, you will. You'll have a high. And I'll tell you right now, that all leads. And that's all part of the demonology that's going on in the world today. And I'll tell you right now, they're getting all kinds of young folks. And what a sad situation is, don't you let that happen to you. If anybody wants you to do something like that, turn your back on them and say, No, sir. Amen. I can't do it. I won't do it. I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't want me to do it, and you're not going to make me. That's the way you ought to be, if you're not already. Now, in Acts chapter 8, or I should say Luke chapter 8, we find here, this is a demon-possessed man, and demons also believe there is a faith that believe that demons have. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? In Luke chapter 8, I should say, and we find, look at verse 26 down through verse 21, but I want you to notice, they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee, and as he went forth to land, we find there met him out of the city a certain man which had demons a long time, wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. What are you talking about? Are you listening? These demons knew who Jesus Christ was. And they asked the Lord, and they said, now listen carefully. These demons knew that Jesus Christ will not and would not die for them. And these demons knew that there's a hell waiting for them. And so they cried out unto the Lord Jesus and said, I beseech thee, torment me not. And then they asked him to do what? To allow them to enter in to the horde of swine, 2,000 of them, and they all went down, perished in the lake, I should say, and they all had to go to the abyss. I'm going to tell you something. Listen now. There are two compartments in hell at this hour. There were three. Before the resurrection of Christ, every saved person went to Abraham's bosom. There are two compartments in hell right now. One of them is a place for every unsaved individual. The other one is a place called Tartaros, and that's the Greek word for it. And we find that word Tartaros is a place that God has put demons. And last night I pointed out to you about the sons of God who were the fallen angels. And when God destroyed the world with a flood, he sent them to Tartaros. And they are there. Now listen carefully. They are there now. And at the great white throne judgment, we as believers are going to be seated alongside the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to judge them and watch them go to hell. And people don't seem to understand that. But we, when the great white throne judgment comes, we as believers will be seated alongside the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to watch people go to hell. And that means we're going to have relatives. That they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. If they don't get saved, we're going to watch them go to hell, and we're going to say amen to their damnation because we have the mind of Christ. Now, some of you never heard that before, but I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the absolute truth, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul told the church, he said, don't you know that you're going to judge angels, and don't you know that the saints are going to judge the world? And that's going to happen. Now, do you have friends and loved ones that are on the road to hell? Pray for them. Talk to them as you have the opportunity. And make sure that as you talk to them and pray for them, you make sure that your life before them reflects that of a believer. Amen. One young man one day, a teenager, came to church one night, you know, and he was monkeying around and he was fooling around as he would come, the young people from listening, and the preacher got through preaching, and afterwards he singled that man out because he walked outside the front of the church, and there he was with his motorcycle, you know, ready to take off and everything like that. And the preacher began to talk to him. He said, preacher, he said, how far away is hell? And the preacher said, right now I don't know. He said, and neither do I. And he said, I'll see you. And he gunned his motorcycle, took off in a And with a screeching of his tires. And listen now, two blocks later, they heard a screech and an awful crash. And that motorcycle had hit a truck. And the preacher turned to the young people and he said, you know how far hell was away for that young man? Two blocks. How far is hell away for you? I don't know. But God does. Make sure you don't go there. You don't have to. The Lord Jesus Christ is ready, willing, and able to save all that will come unto God by Him. Now, this is a satanic faith. And you say, what do you want? The satanic faith? Listen now. They believe there's a hell. Secondly, we find also, they recognize the judgment of God upon the wicked. Luke chapter 4, if you will, quickly. And we see it set forth for our learning. In Luke chapter 4, and we find in verse 33 and 4, these words. Luke chapter 4, and look at verse 33. And in a synagogue there was a man which had the spirit of an unclean demon, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And that means demon possession is even found in our churches today. And don't ever get away from it. Don't ever think it won't be, because Satan will do anything he can to destroy an individual and destroy the work of God. And then, are you listening? There's not only a satanic faith, but we find, last of all, quickly now, there's a counterfeit faith. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll show it to you. A counterfeit faith. And what are you talking about, preacher? Just exactly what I said. A counterfeit. Do you know that the blind people today are the best way that the government still uses to keep from being fooled by counterfeit money? Now, how come? Their fingers are so sensitive that they can tell, as they feel that dollar bill, they can tell whether it's a genuine one or not. And a counterfeit, remember, a good counterfeit, it looks almost exactly like the original. And we have today, in our world, a counterfeit faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look with me if you will, verse 1. This is the third time coming to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Shall every word be established? I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of me, I'm reading the wrong chapter. Sorry, the verse 11. Chapter 11, I'm sorry. Verse 3. But I fear lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity of Christ. Look at these words. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might bear well with him. Now skip down to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. All right, I'm going to ask you to do this. You listen, as you go to church, and if you listen to the radio, listen to some of your religious programs, and you will find out there's a false gospel being preached today. You say, preacher, what were you talking about? There's a false gospel being preached today in which it says this. The Lord Jesus Christ can't save you unless you let Him. That's not true. A number of years ago, I was in a meeting, and this preacher got up and he made this statement. He said, when you die and go to hell, the Lord Jesus is going to look at you and point His finger at you and say, I tried my best to save you and you wouldn't let me. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a false Christ. And a false Christ is being propagated across the world today, and it's very prevalent in America, and some of the greatest so-called mega churches are nothing, preaching nothing but a false gospel. And such are deceitful workers, transforming themselves from the outside. And we find they put on an air. They put on a sanctimonious decorum, if I may use that. Decorum, which means behavior. But are you listening? Salvation doesn't start on the outside. It starts on the inside. And when God saves us, what does He do? He gives us a new heart and a new spirit and a new desire and a new aim and new thoughts and new intentions. And I'll tell you right now, if you profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ and your life hasn't changed, then I'll tell you right now, you have made a false profession and you are preaching, or I should say, you are listening to a false gospel. Now these are the four kinds of faith there is. External, historical, satanic, counterfeit. Now go back to our text quickly. Hebrews chapter 11, and look at me, and I'll show you the genuine faith, that of Noah, and what it consists of. Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. All right? Here we have the faith of Noah. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right? The faith of Noah was an ordained faith. I brought that out a moment ago. God ordained that Noah be saved. If you're saved here tonight, God ordained it. In other words, God purposed it, and God predestinated you to become saved. And I'll tell you right now, there came a time in your life when the Holy Spirit of God stopped by your heart's door, opened your heart, showed you that you were nothing but a poor, lost sinner. And then what did he do? He put a cry in your heart, Lord, save me. And to your amazement, he did. Now that's an ordained faith. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We find the faith of Noah was deposited in his heart by the Holy Spirit, as the faith of Noah was deposited in your heart by the Holy Spirit, as I pointed out in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22 and through 3. Then we find the direct working of God was involved. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and so his faith was an ordained faith. The second thing about Noah's faith was this. It was an obsessive faith. Now that's a big word for some of you. What does it mean? I like the word instead. It was a working faith. If you're saved here tonight, I'll tell you right now, you're enjoying not only being here, fellowshipping with other believers, but I'll tell you right now, you want others to be saved. Yes, you do. You don't want your fellow friends to go to hell, no more than I do. I have three brothers right now. As far as I know, they are in hell. And I don't want anybody to go there. And I was a lot bigger sinner and a lot worse sinner than they ever were. But the difference was this. God stopped me in my tracks like He did the Apostle Paul. Turned me around. Gave me the faith to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Called me to the ministry, and I've been doing that for over 50 years. And I'll tell you right now, the faith that God's given this old sinner is an ordained faith. The faith that God's given you, if you're saved here tonight, is an ordained faith. You didn't know until it happened. But I'll tell you right now, you look back and you ask yourself this question, Lord, why in the world did you choose me? Read the book of first chapter of Ephesians and you'll see it all set forth in clear, unmistakable language. Why did the Lord ever choose me? I don't know, but I'm sure glad He did. Aren't you? All right, now let's look again. Noah's faith was what? It was an obsessive faith. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Our text said, Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Noah moved with fear. He didn't call God the man upstairs, like a lot of people do. He didn't call God by some of these funny names that they had, and so on and so forth. No, sir. He addressed God as he was. And I'll tell you right now, when God gets a hold of a sinner, that sinner has respect for God. And we see it set forth in our churches today. There's no fear of God in our churches at this hour. And I hope there's fear of God in the heart of every one of you. Because I'll tell you right now, if you've never feared God, you're going to fear Him one day as you stand before Him. But the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That doesn't mean you're afraid of Him. It means this, you respect Him. You love Him. And like you respect Him and you love Him even more than you love your own parents. And or you love your wife or your children or anything like that. The fear of Noah moved with fear. What are you talking about? It occupied his time. It occupied his talents. And it occupied everything he had. And we find that Noah, he did what? It was an obsessive faith. He moved with fear, and he did what? He did what God told him to do. He prepared an ark. Now, what made that so different? Well, are you listening? Prior to the flood, it had never rained upon the earth. Now, that's the scripture. I haven't got time to prove that to you, but you look it up in the book of Genesis. It had never rained upon the earth. And when Noah started building that ark, the people came around and said, Noah, what are you doing? He said, I'm building an ark. Well, what for? It's going to rain. God's going to send a flood on this world. Ha, ha, ha. You expect us to believe that? That's the way they laughed at him. Are you listening? In 2 Peter chapter 3, God said he's going to destroy this world by fire. I haven't seen it. I don't expect to see it. But I know it's so. How come? God said so. And God never lies. He means what he says, and he says what he means. And we find this world one of these days is going to be baptized in fire. And all God has to do is take that lake out there and take the elements that make up water and separate them. H2O, hydrogen and oxygen. And those are both volatile gases. And all God has to do is separate that water and turn those into volatile gases. And I'll tell you right now, you'd have an explosion and a fire that would destroy everything. And that's what he's going to do to the world. Are you listening? I'm not going to be here. Are you? I hope not. Now notice again, we find Noah's faith was an obsessive faith. He knew that the flood was going to come. He didn't know when, but are you listening? I know my Lord Jesus is going to come. When? I don't know. He may come tonight. He could. The only thing that holds him back is that the last soul for whom Christ died in this dispensation hasn't come to Christ yet. But he could come tonight. And if he does, if he came while we were preaching, I'll tell you right now, suddenly in a twinkling of an eye, I'd be gone. I'd leave my clothes behind. You'd be gone with me. We'd go right through the roof of this building and wouldn't disturb a thing. And the only thing we left behind would be our Bibles and our clothes. And I'll tell you right now, we'd be caught up to be with the Lord. Amen. And what a joy that would be. Now, why don't I tell you this? Noah knew that this was going to come. You know it if you know your Bible. You know it if you know Christ. You know very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come after you one of these days. You don't know when, but you want to be ready to be with him. Then Noah's faith also was not only obsessive faith. He controlled his actions. He built an ark because God told him to do. It looked like he was a fool. And people today, they say, well, if you're a religious individual, you're nothing but a fool. I work with a civil air patrol. And a few weeks ago, I was there at the meeting of the squadron, and I began to talk about God, and the young fellow raised his hand, and he said, Chaplain, he said, I want to tell you right now, he said, there's six of us here, we don't even believe there's a God. I said, where'd you come from? Evolution. I said, you mean you're the descendant of a monkey? Yeah. I said, where'd the monkey come from? Well, it evolved, and I said, where'd the amoeba come from? Well, he said, we don't want to argue with you, but we just want to tell you point blank. And they were all teenagers, and three of them were seniors in high school. We don't believe there's a God. That doesn't change it any. But you know what it says? The fool says in his heart, no God. And so these kids are fools, aren't they? Don't you be one. You make sure that you believe in the Lord God of heaven. And we find Noah's faith was an obsessive faith. And then I want to use another word. It was an obnoxious faith. What are you talking about? Have you ever been around somebody that you just don't like to be around? You ever have somebody come around and just bother you and bother you and bother you and you just wish they'd leave you alone? All right, that person become obnoxious. Noah's faith was an obnoxious faith. I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Number one, he was building the ark. And number two, he was preaching. He was a preacher of righteousness. And he built the ark and he preached. And he built the ark and he preached. And he kept on preaching until what? Until the ark was done. And we find he was a successful preacher because his whole family was saved. Now listen carefully. You study your Bible and you will find out there are not very many families in the scripture that were completely saved. You see, Rahab was, she said so. And she became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. David's family wasn't complete. Abraham's family wasn't. Jacob's family wasn't. And we go right on the line. There's very few families that are in the scripture that have been completely saved. But now why do I tell you? Noah's faith was an obnoxious faith. It bothered the people round about him. And I'm going to tell you very kindly, if you don't go to the Christian school and you go to a secular school, and there's two or three of you get together and you begin to talk about the things of the Lord in school, I'll tell you right now, you're going to bother a lot of people. Remember the story I told you last night about that young girl? Huh? She came, she took her Bible to school, and what did that homeroom teacher do? He picked that thing up and put it in the hallway. She only been saved one day. And she turned and looked at him, gathered up her books, and said, if I can't have my Bible, I'm not going to be here either. Somebody would have called her sassy. No, she was standing up for the truth. And you know what happened? I told you. Several months later, that same teacher got converted because he saw these words. And this is what he said. He said, I saw in this young girl, 14 years of age, I saw in this young girl something that I didn't have. And he said, I saw in this young girl something that I didn't have and that I needed. And the result was, he became a seeker and the Lord God of heaven saved him. You see, Noah's faith was obsessive. We find it obnoxious, I should say. It caused a reaction on those on the outside. And we find they rejected it, but they didn't like it. And then Noah's faith was an overcoming faith. His whole household was saved. Oh, I wish mine was. I got two boys. One of them professes to know the Lord. The other one, I don't believe he knows the Lord. His wife doesn't know the Lord. My granddaughter, the only granddaughter I have, 10 years old, she doesn't know the Lord. Her other grandparents, they don't know the Lord. They're not interested in the things of God. But are you listening? Noah's family was complete. And as I pointed out last night, one by one they came, didn't they? And one by one, you got to come. Nobody can lead you to Christ. Nobody can push you to Christ. I'll tell you right now, only the Holy Spirit can reveal Christ to you. If you come to me and say, preacher, I'd like to be saved, I'll show you three things to do, and that's all I can do is tell you. Now what? Noah's faith was an overcoming faith. And your faith, if it's of God, is an overcoming faith. What does that mean? It means that we won't get tired praying, we won't get tired preaching, we won't get tired pointing, and we won't get tired persisting. And we're not going to give up. And I've been praying for my boys ever since they've been born. And my one son is over 50 years of age, so that I've been praying for him. Over 50 years. He's still not saved, but I'm waiting for the Lord God of heaven to save him. I'll tell you what. God always does that which is right. And Noah's faith was like that. It was an overcoming faith. You say, what are you talking about? It can only condemn the world round about him, but his entire household was saved. And then we find the faith also enabled him to complete the ark. And then we find Noah's faith was an overwhelming faith. You say, what are you talking about? Our text says, listen to it. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You say, Noah's faith was an overcoming faith. He was spared while others perished. You see? He was spared while others perished. And we find also, what else? Not only was he spared while others perished, but we find also what happened. I'll tell you right now. He became an heir of righteousness. Let me close with this, if I may. If you're saved here tonight, you and I are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means all the riches and all the power and all the glory that belongs to Christ is also ours. And one of these days, we're going to stand before Him. And the angels are going to look at us in amazement, because I'll tell you, one of these days, when we stand before Him, this is what's going to happen. And when we stand before Him, I'll tell you right now, as we stand before the throne, we find clearly, we gathered before the throne, and the angels were quiet as the white-robed choir sang. And we did what? We find we lifted our hearts and praised the name of Jesus. Praised Him why? Praised Him for the blood that reaches deeper than the stain. Oh, my friend, we got everything ahead of us. And believers ought to be the most happy, the most wonderful people on the face of the earth. We ought to be the most idealistic people, because I tell you, all around us, things are crumbling. But God never fails. And when we're in Him, we're under the blood. And let me leave this with you. Under the blood of Jesus, safe in the shepherd's fold. under the blood of Jesus, safe while the ages roll, safe though the worlds may crumble, safe though the stars may crumble, safe though the worlds may grow dim. Under the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, I'm safe and secure in Him. Are you with me? Oh, I hope and pray that you are. Shall we pray? Our Lord, tonight, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the interest of these dear people. Thank you for meeting with us. And Lord, oh, what a glorious God thou art. And what a gracious privilege it is to be a child of thine. And oh, how thankful we are that a number of these young folks do know you. Lord, they've got their life ahead of them. And so we pray. Oh, dear God, watch them. Watch over them. Protect them. And help them always realize that they are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That nothing can happen to them, but it first passes the throne of thy grace, and then is for our good and their good, and for thy glory. Oh, help them to realize that. And help these young folks to stand, and to keep standing for thee. And bless the youth leader as he leads them. Help him and strengthen him, Lord, because we know how much he needs you. And we just ask you, help him to be the best example he can be for these young folks. And then, our God, we pray for the adults that are here. We don't know if everybody's saved or not. But, oh, Lord, we've pointed out this kinds of faith. And so we leave this in thy hands and ask you, oh, dear God, is anybody here without Christ tonight? Open their heart. Don't let them sleep. Make them miserable. And, Lord, cause them to recognize there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And then help them and lead them and cause their footsteps to be turned around and have them set their face to seek thee instead of having their back toward heaven as it is right now. Oh, our God, how thankful we are that you're still saving sinners. Now we ask thee, watch over these folks, and we commit them unto thee and ask again to work out thy purpose for thy glory. We pray now in thy blessed name. Amen. Neil, come and sing us one song, if you will. And while he does it, I want to leave this with you. Our time's gone. And we